there, folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, assistant professor of theology here at the university and the director of the Concordia Bible Institute. Here we are coming at you live from Mequon, This is actually a recording. But nonetheless, feels live to me here in the moment. We're studying the book of Micah. Boy, it's one of those days. I got to tell you, you know, I come into this podcast room quite a bit. And, you know, back in the day, I sat next to Dr. Seleska and we had our podcast together. It's just one of those moments where I was reflecting on him as I was getting ready. I could hear his voice again, as we would test our microphones, and he'd ask how things are going. We'd test our microphones, and we'd make sure it's all good. And then he'd just have that, yep, right there, good, let's go. You know, just kind of always ready to go. And boy, I miss him, and just so thankful for the time with him. And here we are cruising along with this Christ in Every Word podcast in general, but specifically this series on the Book of the 12. And boy, is a fascinating journey, right? We've had Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and now we're in Micah. On the docket today is chapter 3. Again, Micah, I love this point. And I mean, it's not me, it's the scriptures. And that is, Micah is full of a bunch of sermons, and they're arranged according to law and gospel. Even chronological, I mean, Luther, I probably mentioned this already, but it's okay to repeat this because kind of a big deal. It's probably the case that these aren't chronologically arranged, but they are arranged theologically for sure, and that's law and gospel. And we got a good taste of that the last two podcasts here in chapter 3. Boy, the law is coming, and it is going to be addressed to basically the biggest dogs of Israel, and I'll get into that soon. But nonetheless, the book as a whole, again, arranged very theologically, arranged according to law and gospel, arranged like a bunch of Lutherans would arrange it. And it is all about, at the end of the day, the Lord's faithfulness to his people, even in the midst of this sin and rebellion. So here we go with chapter 3, Micah. This is just such a big deal here, chapter 3 and 4. This is really a center point of the book and the center point, really, of the book of the 12. I'll say more about that in a minute here. So here we go. The text of chapter 3 reads like this, "And I said, hear, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice, you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin from off my people and their flesh from off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and break their bones in pieces, and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron? Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time, because they have made their deeds evil. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice, and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Its heads give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price, its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height." Okay, so there we have the text of Micah chapter 3. I mentioned earlier this is loaded with judgment, and boy, you might just say that this is some of the most intense prophetic speech in the entire Bible. I mean, this is just, I mean, it's it just sounds so graphic and crude. These people are acting worse than animals. And so it definitely packs a punch. I mean, Isaiah, I guess other prophets had their moments, right? But this is just eat the flesh of my people. Is this cannibalism? This is quite graphic. So, okay, chapter 3. We basically have three different oracles or sermons, you might say, but they all have a common recipient, addressee. Who's he talking to? The big dogs of Israel. They all have the same kind of reform. Good grief. They all have the same kind of form to them. They're all judgment. They're all reproaching. And they all have the same kind of theme. What's the problem with these big dogs? Injustice. And that for personal gain. And so this is, we heard a little bit earlier about oppression going on at Micah's time. This is telling us exactly who's in charge. This is going after the leaders. And this is, so it's kind of, I guess at the first glance here, we've run into this theme of justice before, haven't we, in the book of the 12. Remember Amos, kind of a famous passage here about let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Again, Book of the 12, the themes that are there, we get that here in chapter 3 as well. I guess the first place to start would be with this, well, the first word he says, and that is, "Hear, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel." I am just struck by how all these sermons from Micah begin with, "Hear, listen." I mean, the judgment's terrible, and I suppose God could just rain down some fire and sulfur. But he decides to, even in the midst of this terrible sin, this terrible rebellion, speak to them through his prophets. It is in and of itself a kind of merciful thing to do, to send instead of just destroying them instantly. I mean, it will happen, right? The north will fall, the south will fall, people will lose their land, their temple. Some of them lose their lives, right? But the Lord sent his prophets to try to knock some sense into them again and again and again and again. In the book of Micah, he always began, "Hear, listen. Your own reason and your senses are not doing so well. Listen to the word of the Lord. What has the Lord said about this? What is he saying right now?" And the question is it not for you to know justice, you who hate the good and love the evil? That's a big moment there. So justice is a really, really prevalent and loaded word in the Old Testament. It's mishpat, so the Hebrew there is mishpat, and it's more than just kind of like a political justice, although that's certainly included and could be an example of it coming to expression. But the big deal with mishpat, this justice, is what is reflective or what is in accordance with, what matches up, lines up with God's will. Is it not for you to know the will of the Lord? And that's what really packs a punch here in this opening oracle. It's like, how are you going to, I mean, that's what's God's will for my life, right? We ask that question and think, well, where are you going to get that? Is it just a feeling in your gut, right? Is that what the Lord's speaking to you, or was that what you had for dinner not too long ago? What is that, and how do you know? Is it not for you? Look at all these leaders of Jerusalem. You guys have been given the word of the Lord. Is it not for you to listen to that and to act in accordance with that as you do your thing, live and move and have your being? And yet they hate the good and love the evil. This is corruption in high places. And it leads to, I mean, not just destroying them themselves, but they're tearing the skin off their people, the flesh off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin. Just terrible stuff. I mean, the thing about this, so it's gruesome, right, this speech, but I think that there is more, I don't know, I mean, it's not even in the right order, right? They're eating the flesh before the chopping or the flaying. I mean, it's not even, I think it's making more of a theological point, and that is when these rulers who have been trusted, I mean, I'm thinking church, we're going to get into the priests later, the prophets. Here we have more of the magistrates or the political rulers, but still, these are all the big dogs in this chapter. When they do injustice, when they disregard the word of the Lord, when they pay no attention to it any longer, they are, in a sense, brutally, gruesomely, intensely, severely affecting, yes, even killing off God's people. That is a fascinating position for God to be in and for these people to be in, right? He entrusts his word to be spoken and to be believed and adhered to across the spectrum. And yet, when the leaders botch this up, it has a profound effect on the people, on the congregation members. We talked a little bit about this too, on the children last time, right? Our Lord in his infinite wisdom has arranged for his word to be given and then preached and taught through various ways and people. And when that's botched up, that is a severe offense and it drives him nuts. This is another moment, true heartstrings of God. This is what he sees happening when his word is trampled and abused and used for selfish gain, popularity, money. Look at what you're doing to these people. You're eating up their flesh. You're acting like you're worse than animals. And what's going to happen to them? Well, verse 4, they're going to cry to the Lord, but he's not going to answer them. He'll hide his face from them at that time. This is, another one of those instances, he's going to do to them exactly what they've are guilty of doing to others, only on a more severe scale. Hey, the Lord's with me. The Lord answers me. The Lord makes his face shine upon me and tells me his will for me and what he wants you to do for me, like give me money for these services and things like that. In a very selfish way, of course, labor deserves his wages. That's not the issue here, right? We pay our pastors and so on. But this kind of selfish gain and deceit, the Lord is with me. Guess what's going to happen? They'll cry, Lord, and see ya. I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to hide my face from you. Exactly what you've been abusing is what's going to happen to you, only on a much more severe scale. And this is something that's, we've seen this in Micah, continues here as well. All right, in verse 5, then we have a little bit of a transition. The first part was kind of these, the magistrates, the rulers of the people, royalty, guys in high places. Now we're going to zero in a little bit more, and we're going to have this. Actually, this is, things are heating up here. This is a very extensive section of this, and that is the stuff against the prophets. So the higher-ups include others, but here we get this focus on the prophets. They cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. This is just such a picture of what's going on, right? They're all gluttonous. They have something in common with the first group, the leaders, the magistrates, and that is they're both greedy. And they're both going to be blasted. They cry out peace. Everything's fine. Why? Because my belly's full. I'm getting payroll. I'm getting cash. The money, the fame, the publicity, it's all coming in. But when it's not, war. You see what's happened here? Peace and war, doom and hope, law and gospel. These are what these prophets do. What's a false prophet? Well, the word doesn't come true and things like that. There's a lot of overlap between true and false prophets in the Bible, as in they both claim to have the Spirit of the Lord. They both preach stuff like peace and doom and hope and destruction, law and gospel and all that. But here's what is such a clear sign of a false prophet, I think, based on what I'm seeing here in Micah, and that is a confusion of law and gospel. When people need to be shown their sin, told their rebellion and so on, well, these prophets are saying it's all good because the money's flowing. And then on the flip side, when people who are convicted of their sin and brought to despair need to hear the good news of forgiveness and life in Christ, these prophets are saying, woe is you unless you give some money, right? And so it brings to mind all sorts of corruptions throughout the history of the church. Yeah, we got Reformation, right, for the Lutherans. We think about some of the corruptions there, stuff that's tied to money and high places. And also, yeah, nothing has changed. This is the selfish stuff that goes on in churches all over the place when the leaders are more interested in their own bellies, their own pockets, than rightly dividing the word of truth, preaching law, preaching gospel. So these guys are going to have it coming. This is actually, again, kind of an extensive list here. Therefore, it shall be night to you without vision, darkness to you without divination. They're going to be disgraced. They're going to be put to shame. They're going to cover their lips. It sounds like leprosy, doesn't it? They cover their lips, unclean, unclean. They're cut off. No answer from God. This is very severe stuff. How we handle the word of the Lord, how we administer that in people's lives, the Lord takes this so very seriously. And Micah is just such a, I mean, it's a word for every age, right? But it just especially brings to mind our own age with this kind of abuse of ecclesial authority and preaching, this kind of the corruption of the word of the Lord in high places and the profound effect that it has on his people and the profound effect that it has on the Lord himself. This is a window into the Lord's heartstrings, and he is altogether torn up when this kind of abuse happens. And that's what makes this really packs a punch. I mean, this is just why it's such a treasure to have the words of the Lord on this, because this is exactly what his will is and what it's like when his will is not followed and abused and hurts other people and so on. Very important message, very timeless, and I think we'll take a break with that and pick it up with the rest of the chapter on the other side.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcasts, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Micah chapter 3. We have been blasting the leaders, the prophets, and then, verse 8 here is actually, I mean, this is kind of rare because here we have the prophet himself speaking. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. This doesn't come around much where you have this first-person little reflection here in an oracle of judgment. But Micah is confessing the reality that he has the Spirit of the Lord, and it's with justice, with mishpat. He's preaching things that are in accordance with the Lord's will. And that means the law and gospel and everything along with it, which, in his words, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. That's part of justice. That's part of the Lord's will. That is part of preaching the word and again, rightly handling the word of truth, as it's put in the New Testament. Conviction of sin is such a crucial thing. We cannot just dismiss it or treat it like it's a non-issue. Part of this whole Micah being a true prophet is declaring transgression and sin, showing the need for a Savior, bringing about repentance. Otherwise, we're going down this other path where it's confusing law and gospel and saying, well, peace, peace, even when there's sin all over, just because the wallet is full. So this is a very unique little moment here, but this is Micah's confession that the Spirit of the Lord is working in him, speaking through him, to say what a thing is, to call it what the Lord calls it. That's the other thing, too. False prophets, true prophets. I mean, Micah is confessing that he is indeed speaking the word of the Lord with power, with strength. And part of that whole, is this really the words Lord or not, is if it conforms, if it's, again, in accordance with, as our creed puts it, a word that he has spoken elsewhere. I mean, God speaks truth, he coheres, and he's not going to contradict himself. And so that's the thing about this, too, is that, okay, if he has called that thing a sin, the prophet comes along, and what do you say about it? You know, here's another, a further word from the Lord, right? So says this prophet. And something that used to be a sin is no longer a sin? Or is it that is a sin and this needs to be proclaimed even in the current day because that's the word of the Lord? And so Micah confesses that he is indeed a true prophet from all of this. And this is another, just a very important thing for pastors today, and that is the true preacher is the one that's speaking words that are that match, that are in conformity with everything that the Lord has said in the past about this, whatever the thing happens to be. Here we've got greed, we've got all kinds of oppression, and so on. And then we have this last part of it, which kind of really revs things up. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice, make crooked all that is straight, build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. We have heads giving judgment for a bribe, priests teaching for a price, prophets making money. And they say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall fall upon us. Okay, so now we've included all three. We've got the rulers, the prophets, and the priests, all the big governing dogs of the institutions there are here. We're finding out why they're doing what they're doing. They are doing some slapstick lip service to, hey, isn't the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. Hey, the Lord's with me, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And this is at the root of the problem. All the greed, all the sin, all the confusion of law and gospel, it's to take advantage of the Lord in a way that is very severe, to take his mercy, his grace, and turn it into a kind of license for sinning, to say, hey, the Lord's good, he does good things, and he's with me, and therefore all bets are off. Everything's fair game. Even stuff that he has clearly said is sin, he has no problem because the Lord's with me. And so not only is it no longer sin, but I'm also blessed in doing this because the Lord's with me. I'm going to profit by doing this because the Lord's with me. I'm going to, you know, have some other, whatever, selfish purposes in mind because the Lord's with me. And this is just such a great, I just wish that this, I mean, these are the kinds of, it's, oh yeah, it's 8th century prophet, and it's kind of weird, it's back in the day. But yet these things have been written for our instruction, Paul writes. These are the sorts of things that reveal the will of the Lord to us right here, right now, about this kind of theological corruption, the abuse of churchly power, positions. This is such a huge deal for the Lord, and we need to have this at the forefront as we think about the church, as we interact and so on. This is just such a big deal, and this is such a, and again, the fact that he's speaking to them, the fact that he is, it's, I mean, it's an act of mercy and grace that you could say that he even speaks to them in the first place to bring them to repentance. It's just now what's going to happen? Well, because of this and this lack of repentance and this, there are huge consequences coming. And what is this? Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. This is a huge deal. This is the destruction of the southern kingdom, the destruction of the temple, the destruction of this is the death of Israel right here. And this is the verse that's quoted over in Jeremiah 26, verse 18. It's one of these moments where a prophet is quoting another prophet. Jeremiah is about to be sentenced to death and hear these elders stand up. He's like, you know what? This is just what Micah talked about back in the days of Hezekiah, Zion being plowed as a field. He's right on. And Hezekiah, by the way, entreated the favor of the Lord. He repented and he believed him. And so we have that sort of, yeah, that is exactly what happened. Micah here talks about the fall of the southern kingdom, a huge deal. And so big that it's actually, I mentioned this earlier, this is actually the middle point of the entire book of the 12. Where if you count up all the verses of the 12 prophetic books in the minor prophets, the so-called minor prophets, it lands right here at this verse, Micah 3, verse 12, the destruction, complete and total destruction of God's dwelling place. And then what's on the very next side of this same coin? It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. The resurrection of Israel, the mountain imagery, highest of the mountains, the house, it will come to pass that it will be built and nothing will be better. Right there you have the death and resurrection of Israel. It's right in the very middle point of the book of the 12. This Jerusalem being a heap of ruins is exactly, this is straight out of the New Testament. What fine buildings. Oh, what amazing stones for the temple. Do you see all these? Do you see that wonderful temple? Not one stone will be left upon another. It'll be a place of jackals and death. You see that big mega church? It'll be a movie theater pretty soon. You see all that? You see those false priests over there preventing people from entering the kingdom of God? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you see all that destruction, the death, the scars? That's the source of your sin. That's the source of your salvation. That's the source of your resurrection. It is precisely through your dying in him that you get your rising in him. And that death and resurrection is the very center point here of Micah and of all the book of the 12. And it just has a way of bearing witness in a very special way to the death and resurrection of that house of the Lord that is the body of the crucified and risen Messiah, Christ Jesus our Lord. Fantastic stuff. I think we'll call it there for today. Big hitter moments here in Micah. We will, oh boy, I mean, that's the thing too. We're gonna have a doozy of an oracle here with chapter 4 next time. Tune in, tell your family and friends so that they too can learn more about God's Word with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org. and clicking on our contribute page. Until next time, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman, wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus, our Lord.